Hello and welcome to a very, very special edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson, Armin Badakian, Charlie O'Connor Clark, the Canadian Premier League Finals 2019 is here. And we have a long podcast.
We have a long podcast.
This all good.
This is the Center Circle Live extravaganza. We will be joined by Cavalry FC head coach Tommy Wheeldon Jr., Forge FC head coach Bobby Smyrniotis, Cavalry FC and Canadian men's national team goalkeeper Marco Carducci, and Forge FC striker and personal friend of the show, Anthony Novak, all in this hour-long special setting up Finals 2019. The first leg, you'll hear me say it a lot, October 26th at Tim Hortons Field. Second leg, November 2nd at Go Field at Spruce Meadows. You can get tickets to either leg at campiel.ca or the respective homepages of Forge FC or Cavalry FC. Guys, we're here. Our regular season has come to an end after 98 matches of Canadian professional soccer.
It's insane.
We have approached the end of the road for our inaugural campaign, Forge FC versus Cavalry FC.
First off, I think it's awesome that it ends at 100, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that.
100 matches.
Yeah.
It's going to sell DVDs right off the shelf.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, it's finally here. Yeah. And we do have like I love the Calgary versus Hamilton. Like, I love how it's just two markets that have been in the running for professional soccer for years, finally getting this moment.
New rivalry, Alberta versus Ontario. We've got some...
Old rivalry manifested in a brand new way.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I did a rundown on campiel.ca this morning of all of the games. And when you go through like game by game, all of them have been crazy. Like, you think of the 2-1 where Pasquati scores
last second
in May, and then you have the Canadian Championship games, obviously. Becker scoring in Calgary to prevent Cavalry from winning the spring title at home. Like, there were just tons of games. And then Johnny Grant with that beautiful goal in the fall season, and the two that we had in this past week. It's been crazy.
It's 9 total games between these two opponents by the end of the season, which is, Charlie, I know that you were looking at some of the numbers at some of the other clubs, but that's a number in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I think it's pretty rare for rivals to see each other that many times in a season. So I think it's only been good for fostering that kind of, I guess, animosity that they have between each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Canadian Championship was a coincidence, I think. But it was based on previous results, but it's also fortuitous that it was drawn that way. It wasn't necessarily meant to be that way. Most teams played each other 4 or 5 times, generally 5, sometimes 4. And I think that's where we would have seen it. But having the additional 2 games in the Canadian Championship plus these 2 games in the finals has sort of buoyed that. Yep. And I know that these two have... you know, seen plenty of each other, and they've both evolved over the course of the season. We'll be joined by Bobby Smyrniotis shortly. He'll be first up on our docket. And we're going to talk to him about, you know, what are some of the things he's learned about, you know, his opponent. This is a very strange finals in the sense that I don't think I've ever seen a finals where two teams just know each other as well as these two do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's start with Forge hosting the first leg.
Yep.
What do you think is the big storyline for them in this first leg? I know that Dominic Samuel, Bertrand Awundi, we'll get into it later with Bobby, but they're going to be out due to suspension. Mm-hmm. Really mixes things up with the team. They have a couple key injuries as well.
I think they just got to do what they've already shown they can do, which is manage a first leg. They've done it in, you know, CONCACAF league play. It didn't end particularly well in Honduras for them in the second leg, but when it comes to first legs, this team knows how to manage the occasion. I think he's got enough pieces in his back line, especially with David Edgar in the mix now, that the absences of those two defenders, I don't know if it'll play a huge role. I know that Dominic Samuel is pretty versatile, but between Daniel Crutzen and David Edgar, Jonathan Grant, Kwame Awua, I mean, there's plenty of options for him, especially considering the fact that, you know, I don't think that either team will defend too much anyways, so we might see a lot of back and forth.
See, I'm wondering, because if you watch back that game on Wednesday in Hamilton, first off, these two back-to-back games between Cavalry and Forge have been
a godsend.
Yeah, but like, you can just tell that both coaches are just trying not to give stuff away.
Yeah, there's
like Eliman Cissé playing striker.
Yeah,
like,
Sergio Camargo as a false nine was a new one.
Yeah. And to keep in mind this too, Ashton Jordi Jansson is going to probably be out due to injury. You'd probably end up seeing either Cissé or, I would bet, Kwame Awua play kind of as that holding midfielder. Yep. And then now what do you do? You're probably going to have put Grant or
Giuliano Frano.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Yep. Yeah, someone like that out there. So it mixes things up for Forge. It's interesting. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think Bobby Spyrniotis has talked a lot about his team's depth throughout the season, and it's kind of poetic that they're going to have to show that in the first leg here. Like, he's going to have to lean on some of that depth. Some maybe not his first-choice 11 that he would like in a perfect world, but it's still going to be a very strong 11, so it'll be interesting to see them kind of sink or swim on the back of that depth. Mm-hmm.
So the other kind of talking point that's emerged is Cavalry FC clinched the fall title with a last game win over FC Edmonton. They already had the Wild Rose Cup, but it basically assured them El Clasico's bragging rights as well. Mm-hmm. But this poses an interesting kind of reality right now where Cavalry has won both the spring and fall, and yet Forge still has a chance to walk out of here as victors of the season. And I think if you look at it from the perspective of spring and fall should be warranting a winner at the end of it, yeah, there's definitely a case to be made. But the fact of the matter is these two teams were so close throughout the entire season. Fall was separated by 1 point. Mm-hmm. It was a single draw that determined the outcome of the entire fall campaign. So I think Forge has shown that they deserve to be here. They deserve an opportunity to compete for the trophy. I don't think that they are a different class below Cavalry. They're, I would say, equal footing in terms of the quality they bring. And I think it'll be up to Bobby Spyrniotis to kind of exert himself a little bit. He's been very quiet. We'll get into it a little bit later in terms of the tactics and what he's bringing to the team. But I think this is really an opportunity for him to really show what he can bring. That being said, though, Tommy Wheeldon Jr. will do exactly the same. And that's what makes this such a fascinating encounter. These are two equals.
Yeah, I don't really see it as Forge kind of like bumming an opportunity to get into this finals. Because if you look at the overall table now that it's settled, I think it's Forge is only like 3 points behind Cavalry. Yeah. And I think that if, say, Cavalry ran away with the league and maybe there was a pack of six and there was maybe one team that was separated, maybe it would be different. But also, like, they're even on the season series, 3-1-3.
I mean, it was so close for the whole season. You have to think, like, Forge will really want something to show for being this close. Like, they now have that opportunity against Cavalry, even though they lost the fall by 1 point.
So what's the approach for the first leg for Forge?
I think you have to go for it. I mean, your first leg is where you're, like, they've already shown throughout their CONCACAF League campaign, your first leg really kind of sets the narrative. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, if something goes wrong in the second, you can lean on a good first leg. I don't know if 0-0 is good enough, and I don't think that Bobby should play for it either. Because going into Calgary, it's a tough place. I mean, like, there's not a lot of history of success there. That being said,
Forge is the only team to win there.
Forge is the only team to have won there. Yeah. And they've, you know, in the last two meetings, it's been a very tight encounter. Really, all of the meetings have been very close. None of them have been particularly goal heavy.
Well, none of them have been won by more than a goal.
Yeah. No. So it's going to be a very tight first half. We at CampHale.ca have reached out to a number of players from across the league, including Tomi Amiobi of Edmonton, Marco Bustos at Valor, Luca Gasparotto at York 9, plenty of players across the league, asking them what they expect to see. And you can go check that out on CampHale.ca, but their answers are fascinating because I think even the players across the league are very split on where the advantage lies. Mm-hmm. And really, I think everyone's expecting a very close game. We're going to speak to Bobby Spyrniotis of Forge FC in a moment, and we're going to break down Forge's opportunities, their preparations, and what we might see from Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field on October 26th. And we are joined by Forge FC head coach Bobby Spyrniotis, who's gearing up for Finals 2019, the first leg at Tim Hortons Field on October 26th. You can get your tickets on CampHale.ca or on Forge FC's home website. Bobby, thank you very much for joining us here on Center Circle Live.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
So, I mean, I think the question on everyone's mind is, you know, you guys are going into Finals 2019. There's two more games. You've already taken on Cavalry FC 7 times. How do you approach this game? Like, what's your preparation like for an 8th and a 9th meeting with Cavalry FC?
Yeah, definitely in the football world, it sounds very interesting. You know, a lot of people have asked me that question the last few weeks. And, you know, you go back and you look at some teams in different leagues and you may say, you know, Liverpool and Manchester City, and they square off twice in a year. So it may take them 5 years to play each other 9 times. And here we are in the first year doing it. Listen, it's we know each other well. You know, we know our opponents, we know who they are, what they bring to the table. So I think in the end, it makes things a little bit easier in getting prepared for this match. But also, you know, at the same time, you you can't have any complacency in thinking that you know everything about them or what they're going to bring. But I think it's it makes it for a very interesting match.
It's also a very close match. The results between you two have been fairly even, and the fall season actually came down to a single point, Cavalry FC taking it with a win over FC Edmonton. But really, I mean, that whole race between you two was incredibly tight throughout the season. How motivated are you guys to return the favor now that, you know, the fall title might not be yours, but you still have an opportunity to take a meaningful, you know, victory and a meaningful trophy, basically, out of this two-legged series?
Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, we started this season with one goal, and I think seven teams started with a goal of being the Canadian Premier League champion for 2019, and that's an opportunity we've earned and we're being given to do over this two-legged final. You know, on November 2nd, there'll be one team that will take the 2019 trophy into their trophy case and move forward, and like most leagues in the world, will represent the league on the continental stage. And I think that's the most important thing that that we have in front of us, and quite frankly, both teams have in front of us. You know, when you look at the way the league shaped up and how teams were able to get into this phase and this inaugural season final, I think we've done a great job to get there. And now it comes down to two games. And yes, we've played an excellent series of seven games with Cavalry. And when you look at it, everything is very close. With the wins for each team, tie, games settled by one goal. So I think it's been fantastic. And I think, you know, there's a reason the two of us are playing for this championship.
We mentioned it earlier in the show, Bobby. We were talking about Bertrand Awundi and Dom Samuel being out for leg one due to suspensions. How does that kind of change your back line and your defensive shape going into that first leg, that crucial first leg?
Yeah, I mean, you may have to move things around. The one thing we've done very well as a group this year and as a team is we've played with a lot of different setups in our back, in our midfield, and our front line, and we've done that a lot also in the last month. You know, just knowing where things were with the season, knowing that the finals were set with the first leg being here in Hamilton and the second one in Cavalry. You know, we were able to take a little bit of a different approach to the final month of the season and rotating things around because you want to make sure that you're eventually prepared for these two final games that you know you're going into. And sometimes, you know, it could be one day in training or it could be in a game where you lose a player. You need to make sure that you've got another one who's ready, who has the minutes and is prepared tactically, not only from a training aspect and gets the game minutes. So I think we've done a great job at that over the last month or so, and we've got a whole group of players who are prepared and ready to play.
So you guys get to open Finals 2019 with the home leg. Is there maybe a priority for this game? Is it keeping them from scoring an away goal? Is it kind of getting a lead heading into leg two? Is there anything you're kind of zeroing in on here?
Yeah, I think, listen, the most important thing is you want a very good performance at home. You know, you want to come out of here with a victory. You know, keeping the goals against at zero and minimizing the away goal, I think, is important. It's something we saw in our two rounds of CONCACAF League. But we also learned from that aspect in CONCACAF League that we did give up an away goal to Antigua from Guatemala and still went through. So we have some experience going at it in both ways. I think the most important thing is you want to come out of the first leg with a positive result. And then you know what you need in the second game. And, you know, that's the biggest thing with two-legged series, that you want to know exactly where you stand in a positive aspect going into the second match.
Looking back on the season today, I noticed that Forge has managed to score multiple goals against every other team but Cavalry this year. What is it about Cavalry that maybe stymies you guys or that you guys can't get over to, you know, especially in a tie like this, potentially score more than one goal in the game?
Yeah, there's a few ways of looking at that. The first way, you look at it and say this is a very good team, Cavalry, that defends very well. You know, they defend very well as a group. And what they do, you know, on the flip side, well, we'll take it and say that, you know, we've scored in all the matches against them, home and away. And I think that's a very important thing to look at, and the way we attack and the way we get things. But they're a team that doesn't give you a lot of space. They know how to defend very well. They know how to defend very well in their lower block and close the spaces. But it's something, whether we've been playing here at Tim Hortons Field, I think we've done well, and we've gone into to Calgary in our three matches and also scored a goal there, and I think that's very important.
Bobby, your Sigma FC team was always a powerhouse in League One Ontario, but this is another chance at a title, something that has eluded you in your time at Sigma. What did you learn from those experiences before this CPL inaugural season? And was there a reason maybe that you've seen a level of improvement at Forge that maybe you can realize those dreams now?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a different situation. If you look back to the years in League One and with Sigma, and you go into those years, it's a team that's usually in first place for the majority of the season and then drops off because a good 12 to 14 players leave to go back down south to the U.S. And so you're finishing off the last 5 to 8 games of the season with a totally different team, with a totally younger team. So it was a little bit different of a situation. We knew what we were dealing with. We knew that for a component of the season, you know, the team was going to be drastically different because of the length of the season. And most of the guys, whether it was the Kyle Ahrens years ago, Chris and Anko and all these guys would be heading back down for their scholarships at school. So I thought, you know, that makes it a little bit different. You know, here we've had the ability for the first time for myself, maybe in my career in coaching at the senior level, to be able to have, you know, one team throughout the season. And I think that's been great to do and to work with. And I think that hard work from all of us has led to us being in the final.
So another interesting development, I guess we can do a little bit of a throwback. One of your players, one of your former Sigma players, Richie Laria, has been a star reborn this year, not only for Toronto FC, but for Canada as well. He's impressed a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I'm wondering, I'm sure you watched Canada, I'm sure you've also watched Toronto FC. What have you made of his 2019 season? Are you proud of the work he's put in this year?
Yeah, 100%. He's been excellent. But I'd be probably one of the first people telling people over the last 3-4 years that all he needs to do is play games. All he needs to do is play consistently and get into a lineup, because his footballing acumen, his intelligence for the game, the gifts he has on the ball are fantastic. And it's what you want in a modern footballer. So I think it just came down to getting into a right situation. And sometimes that's football. That's a sport. You have players who maybe are in the wrong situation or don't get the opportunity at a moment, maybe because of a depth aspect, and don't get the games. And we've seen this year, you know, he's gone into an unfamiliar role playing at right back. You know, this is a player who's played in the midfield in the 8 and 10 position in college, even played further up the field, where he scored a lot of goals for Akron. And here he is now making his strides at the pro level, playing as a right back and for our national team. And it's been excellent. You know, he's been excellent on both sides of the ball. You watch him play against the national team, and he's defending Pulisic and doing a great job. And then you see his impact on the game for Toronto FC this past weekend in their playoff game.
And let's bring it all full circle. You've got your alumni players like Kyle Aaron, Richie Laria, but now you've also brought in a new crop of players into this professional environment. You guys will be probably, for some of these players, this is their biggest game ever. How do you manage those kind of players and their expectations, their preparations, as you head into this latest moment of history in our inaugural season?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is you go about your business as you do every week. And I know that's sometimes an easy thing to say, but you know, we're preparing for a match on Saturday, as we do for every game in the CPL against an opponent we know well, and it's take that one game at a time. At the end, yes, there's the caveat of this is a championship, this is a trophy for our trophy case, this is our opportunity to be the inaugural champion of the Canadian Premier League. But you know, we know our opponent well, we know what they bring to the field, and on Saturday it'll be another game, Saturday game at Tim Hortons Field, with a fantastic crowd pushing us from behind. And we have to go out there and do what we do best. And what we do best is play on the front foot, keep the ball, play a very up-tempo style of soccer, and make sure that we get a goal.
A methodical philosophy, but definitely an effective one for you guys. Bobby, thank you very much for joining us here on Center Circle Live, and best of luck to you in your approach to Finals 2019, October 26th and November 2nd.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and great job all year with the show and everything you've done for the league.
Why, thank you.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate that.
And we are joined by Anthony Novak, striker for Forge FC over in Hamilton, Ontario. Anthony, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys.
So, big game on Saturday. And I think the question on all Forge fans' minds is, what are you having for breakfast on Saturday morning?
I'm definitely gonna start off with a nice big omelet. That's for sure.
Nice.
So yeah, we gotta hit the grocery store on Friday night, me and the boys, and see if we can cook up like a team meal or something like that.
So that's calling back to the.
I'm staying with Daniel and Q and Monty. So
nice.
Maybe I'll get in the kitchen and whip them up some pancakes or something.
So my problem with your answer that you gave for the Valor game, where you said it was your breakfast that allowed you to score those goals. You didn't say exactly what you had.
Yeah, it was very vague.
At the time, you know those little breakfast the little breakfast sausages. The small ones that come frozen. I've been craving those for ages. A little syrup. I came down on Valor. I had the continental breakfast at the hotel, and I'm not really a breakfast guy. Normally, I do the intermittent fasting, but nice. They had them there, and I was just like, "Oh,
same here." Actually, same. I've been doing those as well.
I had some, and then,
yeah, absolutely. I've been doing those ones as well. Those, what is it, 12 to 8s or whatever?
Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, so I do mine. I do mine a little different. I finish eating around 10, and then I won't eat typically till like 1 o'clock the next day. But like we have like team meals for lunch and stuff, obviously, after training each day. So if we're training in the mornings, like I'll put it back just a little bit, try and get at least 14. But I try anyways it almost every day.
Cool, man. Well, obviously it seems to be working. You've been scoring at a pretty regular pace throughout the entire season.
Yeah,
and now you're entering Finals 2019, where you'll be playing against Cavalry FC. You've played them a lot this year. 7 times so far, 2 more meetings before the end of the year. All of them have been pretty heated matchups, I would say. What do you make of this like budding rivalry between Ontario and Alberta, Forge versus Cavalry? And are you looking forward to playing against this specific team in a final situation?
Definitely. I mean, for me personally, I've only started against them twice. And obviously, I had my little layoff in the middle of the season where I think we played them like 5 games on the bounce, something like that, between the CPL and the Canadian Championship. So for me personally, like it's nice because they're the other best team in the league, right? So anytime you can, we want to play against the best. And I think it's a good rivalry that I also think that there's definitely aspects that we look to exploit. And, you know, I imagine we will do so.
Your first leg is at home at Tim Hortons Field. It's a place where the last time you've played them, you've won 1-0 both times in the fall. What sort of match are you expecting for the first leg, and how does the team sort of approach it? Is it a matter of making sure not to concede away goals, or do you guys want to try to get a healthy lead in the first leg? What's the approach?
For sure. Well, I mean, without giving too much away, obviously, I think the way most teams approach any game, right, is as long as you don't concede any goals, you know, you're in the game at least, right? So I'll be with a healthy lead. I mean, obviously, if we scored, you know, 3 goals, we'd be very pleased. But I do think the most important thing is definitely not to concede, because then obviously you go away, and once you get on the board, you're looking at a result. So I think that's the best way to put our foot forward.
Tommy Wilden Jr.'s team clinched the spring title at the very, very last day of the season. The fall title, as well as the spring title. It was a very close race between you two, though. What was that kind of day like for you guys? Were you watching the results, waiting to see what happened between that Cavalry versus that Edmonton game?
Yeah, we actually had the day off. So I can't speak for the rest of the team, but the boys, we got a little something called the Punch Bowl Market. We went over and grabbed ourselves a few coffees and a couple of baked goods from the local store, and had a little breakfast, and then came back and then sat down and watch the game. And you know, obviously you're looking for a different result to go your way, but Calgary do this thing where they tend to score bunches of goals in the last 15 minutes against some of the other opposition in the league, so you can never be too hopeful, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last question before we let you go.
It's a big
occasion for both teams, but looking back at the entire year now, do you think that this is a fitting culmination of our inaugural season, seeing the two, clearly the best two teams in the league, go at it head-to-head?
Undoubtedly. I mean, I think you said it best yourself. I think you are looking at the two best teams in the league over the course of the year playing each other, right? I think, you know, if the fall season had gone drastically different from the spring season, whether it be regards to the way Calgary carried themselves or the way we carried ourselves, you know, I think... you know, it might be a little bit more up in the air, but the fact of the matter is that both teams took care of business pretty much from day one in both the fall two teams, it's 3-3-1. So the finals couldn't have been better set up at this point.
Brilliant. Well, Anthony Novak, Forge FC striker, best of luck to you in Finals 2019 as you take on Cavalry FC, and thank you very much for joining us here on Center Circle Live.
And let us know what you have for breakfast.
Hey, I will. I'll send you guys a little message or something like that.
Brilliant.
So the backdrop changes from orange to red.
Yep. We are now in our cavalry portion of the hour-long spectacular. But very fascinating stuff from both Bobby Smyrniotis and Anthony Novak as Forge prepares for both legs. Now, though, the focus, I think, shifts to Cavalry, who I think might be the slight favorites heading into this.
Yeah,
whether or not they're evenly matched on the field or on paper, I think there's definitely this Team of Destiny vibe around Cavalry all year. Winners of spring, winners of fall.
Yeah, but why else? Why else is Cavalry the favorites? Other than they've had this magical run in the Canadian Championship, yada yada.
Well, I don't think that's yada yada. Definitely, there's been like this moment of...
Well, tell me why.
Well, I think the thing about Cavalry, and full credit to them, they didn't need to win the fall. They didn't.
No. Mm-hmm.
They absolutely didn't have to put their foot on the gas like this. Tommy said he wants the treble. He wants spring-fall championship, and he's going for it. The fact that they were able to do it in the last game of the season, yeah, it might be a testament to how close it was, but in the end of the day, Cavalry won a fall title they didn't need to win. And that's just, like, that's scary almost.
They really stepped it up in, like, the last half hour of that Edmonton game, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the fact that they can get to that gear. Like, I maintain that the best Cavalry performance we saw was that Whitecaps game. And we haven't seen Cavalry hit that gear at all in the fall. So the fact that I think that they still have that in them, that's got to be terrifying. And I think that's probably what Bobby Smyrniotis is anticipating, preparing for. Cavalry hasn't necessarily shown us 100% straight. They haven't gone Super Saiyan. So until they do, I think, you know, there's that element of surprise that's still possible.
So what's the big storyline for Cavalry going into this first leg? So the format, if you missed it at campiel.ca, away goals in effect, if tied after the second leg, no extra time, straight to penalties. But again, away goals are important in that first leg.
Well, you know how I feel about penalties, so we don't have to get into that.
Yeah, we talked about it for like 6 minutes.
And do you see the beauty of extra time? Toronto FC was up 1-0.
Yeah.
Got scored on by DC United, and then scored 4 unanswered goals in like 5 minutes in extra time. It was unreal.
But if it was golden goal, everyone wouldn't have been able to go home after like 93 minutes.
Well, DC's fans were already going home since they set the stadium on fire, so like I think it wouldn't make a difference for them.
But what's the big storyline for Cavalry? Do you go for it?
You have to.
I mean, I think they have no reason not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
So I guess maybe the issue was on Wednesday when they went to Tim Hortons Field. Keep in mind they've won at Tim Hortons Field before, I believe, multiple times. No, just once.
Just once.
Yeah. But they went in and, to be honest, I don't think they had very many shots on target, maybe one or two. They're a different team at Spruce Meadows for sure, but I think that the away leg is going to be the tricky one for Cavalry. They're almost guaranteed some sort of result at home.
Yeah.
I would say.
I think the game will be won and lost at ATCO Field at Spruce Meadows because I think the first leg is manageable, you know? Mm. If Forge wins 1-0, then you can bunker, or if Forge takes a 1-0 lead, I should say, you can bunker down and say, okay, look, we'll try for an equalizer, but let's not make it any worse than this. And then you bring it home and you've got your 2-goal margin and that's it. I mean, there's a million permutations, and that's the beauty of these two-legged finals is nothing is really set in stone until that final whistle is blown. Mm. And whether that ends in penalties or not remains to be seen. I really hope it doesn't. I'd really like a natural final, like a winner of this finals 2019. But Charlie, I know that you were saying earlier to me today that, you know, Cavalry isn't exactly unscathed in all of this as well. I mean, they're bringing a pretty strong team to this, but potentially missing Nick Ledgerwood. What do you see from their lineup?
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, it could make a huge difference if Ledgerwood's ready to go or not. But, I mean, they're generally healthier across the board. But I think in midfield, you still, regardless, you're going to have Julian Boucher in there,
yeah.
Who, in my opinion, is a game breaker in this league. So I think that'll be huge. I mean, if you're Cavalry, you have to be tempted to be going for it in leg one, right? Like that away goal would be an enormous advantage heading into leg two.
Well, it was good too that Sergio Camargo scoring on the weekend and after saying I'm 100%, I'm all good.
Yeah, he's good to go.
Yeah, which is huge because he's been out for a while, but. We sometimes forget how big a contributor he was in the fall season, or sorry, the spring season especially. But he's kind of been out of the picture, and they've still been good. And now adding him in form to that lineup, it's scary if you're Forge.
I think there's the other point we should consider, and we'll talk to Tommy Wheeldon Jr. and Marco Carducci about this a little later, but I think what we have to consider is they've won the spring, they won the fall, and now there's a weird kind of pressure on them because it almost feels like the trophy should be theirs, mm-hmm. but it's not. You still have to earn it, and it's very possible that your entire season, your entire body of work can be undone with two bad games. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think? Like, do you think that that pressure might be something that Forge doesn't necessarily have to contend with, or can that be their undoing?
See, I personally just see them as being equals, mostly because they've just been toe-to-toe with each other for the whole season. If you look, Forge actually has a better record in the fall against Cavalry than the other way around. But I suppose you are right that by winning both and by winning the overall table, you do appear to be that much better.
I think, but if Forge wins the fall, that might have spooked Cavalry a little. Because then it becomes a matter of these guys won an 18-match game, like, or 18-match like season.
Yeah. I keep in mind Forge lost back-to-back games
near
the end of this fall season.
And also kicked off poorly in the fall with a loss to Edmonton. I think, I mean, that there was your point, really.
Yeah.
If you're Cavalry and you've had this incredible season winning both titles, you don't want it to end on a loss.
No, of course. Because
that's going to be the last thing you remember, right? That'll be what you take away from the season if you're
you could lose leg two if you've won the leg one, like 3-0.
You don't want to leave an incredible season like this watching another team lift a trophy at your stadium.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into it with Tommy Wheeldon Jr., head coach of Cavalry FC, as well as Marco Carducci, goalkeeper for the Cavs. And we are joined by Cavalry FC head coach Tommy Wheeldon Jr., winner of both the spring and fall titles as he approaches Finals 2019, kicking off at Tim Hortons Field October 26th. Before returning to ATCO Field at Spruce Meadows on November 2nd. Tommy, thank you very much for joining Center Circle Live.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's get right into it. Your team, successful in both stanzas of our season, winners of the 10-match spring sprint, and with an El Clasico victory on our final match day, you've also clinched the fall title. I mean, that's got to feel good on your way to the goal you've set throughout the year, which is this treble. But how good does it feel to wrap up the fall in this dramatic fashion with the last gasp win against a team like Edmonton?
Yeah, it was. I think we've got good at playing meaningful games. So I think when I was asked after winning the spring season, we had a great start in the spring. And when I asked after the spring season, what did the fall mean? And I replied quite easily, it was another competition for us to win. We approached the Canadian Championship in the same way to get as deep as we could. And we wanted to win it, and I would say if you know we had scored that goal and not Montreal at our place, we'd have been in the final against TFC, but it wasn't meant to be. When we had the full season, we wanted to win it in front of our fans because you know we had the opportunity at Forge. You know, we'd shuffled our deck in terms of some tactical looks and players in different positions just to see you know a potential plan B, as we've all got to do. I'm sure Bobby's no different with the lineup he put out. But yeah, for us to win it in front of our fans is another opportunity we have with the CPL finals. And it was like a dress rehearsal. So, you know, Edmonton and credit to Jeff, Sean, his team, they don't make it easy for you. And we just had to keep going. And as you've seen through the course of the season, we always find ways to win and we always finish games strongly. So, you know, that was a big plus for us. And it was nice to be able to celebrate with our fans and get them ready for the upcoming finals.
I was just going to say there was some silverware on Saturday as well. Before we get into the finals, we had a write-up on campiel.ca about the Wild Rose Cup and how, you know, the supporters kind of came together for seems like for a couple years. And there was a couple quotes in that I thought were quite interesting saying, you know, we want to make this meaningful for supporters, but the players understand that there's something to play for and win. So once you won that, I was like, you guys got to raise a trophy on Saturday. I mean, how did that affect morale and the team and in those moments you got to have with those fans?
It was interesting because as we're a new league, you know, sometimes with, I think NASL used to do it where there was a spring and fall series and I think there was a plaque presented and you look even the Raptors when they go off in the NBA playoffs and they're East Coast champions, boom, something's given, T-shirts are given, and then you play off in the finals for the real deal. But and when we won it at York, the guys like it was almost like a muted celebration. Yes, get in there, and they were looking around as if to say, "Well, what do we do now? And we just huddled up, and it was like, well done, guys. Good job. Let's move on to the next one. And it was strange because we got asked that as well in the press conference. I think, Armin, you might have been there, but I think some of the guys, their understanding was the winner, why it was a short spring. Well, the winner of that was going to go into the CONCACAF. That's why it was made short. And obviously Canada Soccer made their different point of view for it. So we had to respect that. And then we've gone on and said, right, let's go and win the fall. But it's interesting. And you only have to look at the importance of the silverware. And you look at what the Wild Rose Cup meant. And it was only a head-to-head battle with Edmonton, but it meant a lot for the guys to have won that and be able to have bragging rights across the province, but lifting silverware. So it was a neat thing to do. No matter what you do as a competitor, you want to win. So when you do win these seasons, something to commemorate it is always nice, because you got to celebrate the small victories as much as you do the big victories. And then, you know, whatever the trophy looks like for the CPL finals, we've yet to see it. We hope that, you know, we'll have had a little bit of a rehearsal playing these meaningful games, and we'll be able to lift the real thing.
A rivalry that I think we did see emerge, and we saw it emerge over the course of 7 matches, which is, as Bobby Smirnieros pointed out earlier in the show, is kind of absurd in the world of soccer. It's this rivalry between you and Forge, which now takes place on our biggest stage at Finals 2019. Tommy, you've played this team a lot, so you guys are plenty aware of what Forge is going to bring to the table, but do things really change in terms of your preparation or what you're expecting from your opponent as you go into this heightened level of play? And maybe what are you expecting to see that might be different in these next 2 matchups?
I think it's going to be a mental game, because when you've played each other 7 times, it is true. You can get caught up with this player or that player. And, you know, you look at Becker early on, he scored a couple of goals against us, so we were able to nullify him in the later games. Borges scored in the very first game, and then the other 6, we've been able to nullify him. So now suddenly you're looking at, they've had other scorers like Chouanier scored the winner in that one, and Grant scored the winner in another one. So I think what we've got to do is make sure, like all teams, like every match we've gone into now, this is just purely a home and away. We can't forget about the past, but we can only look at what do they do well. What are their tendencies, because they don't change? Who are their threats? But they've had weaknesses that we've been able to exploit. So how can we exploit them even further? And how can we be the best version of ourselves? Because at the end of the day, the mental game is going to be strong. And our guys have got to compete. We've got to be able to do the gritty stuff before we can even think about doing the pretty stuff. And if we get that right, we're going to have a good performance at Tim Hortons and give us a platform to come back to our Atkill Field at Spruce Meadows. And give us an advantage.
So you guys are opening Finals 2019 on the road in a tie where away goals could come into play in a pretty major fashion. Is there an incentive to go for goals on Saturday with Forge missing 2 key defenders in Bertrand Awoundi and Dominic Samuel?
He said every game we've approached trying to score goals. You know, and I think that's shown with how we went to Montreal, an exceptional side. We knew they'd have more of the ball than us. We went for goal. You know, in the last few games we played against Forge, we've had more of the ball, but, you know, they've led a little bit deeper in their defensive structure. So, you know, we want to score while we're there, but in the same token, we don't want to leave ourselves wide open for their counterattack, which is something that they're very good at, because we've got to make sure that a tight game, a 1-goal game, is okay. A 2-goal game, yeah, still justifiable. You can't have a multi-goal game unless it's on our side to come back to, right? So, we've just got to pick our tactics wisely. We've had enough of a dress rehearsal in the Canadian Championship. We had 4 rounds of Canadian Championship, if you include Pacific, Forge, Whitecaps, and Montreal Impact. So this is our 5th attempt at it.
Brilliant. And let's just get 1 more question in before we send you off, Tommy. It's for your preparations. You're going into a 2-legged tie where, you know, you'll be able to, presumably, if things go as planned, celebrate in front of your own supporters with a win. And I know that's maybe a little bit forward thinking. That might be, you know, there's still 180 minutes of soccer to be played, but are you kind of envisioning that moment in your head? I know in this sport, a lot of people like to, you know, close their eyes and picture what they want, manifest their reality. What's that moment like for you if you can make it happen?
Yeah, I'm not thinking of that. I think what happened when the legs got announced, you know, I take it as it's an opportunity to lift the trophy in front of our fans. But in order to earn that opportunity, we've got to make sure we do exactly that. We earn the right to be able to compete for it at our home turf. So that means we've got to go and put on a great performance at Tim Hortons Field. And that's what we're preparing for right now. We know that's a tough place to play. It is like a wind tunnel in there. The ground is rock hard. You can dominate 45 minutes of the game. And that's why you'll see Forge don't dominate two halves of football, because it's a wind tunnel. So we've got to be prepared that it's a swirling wind. They're fast on the break. We've got to deal with all those conditions and make the game close like we did in the Canadian Championship and bring it back to Spruce Meadows. So then we'll start thinking about what do we need to do in leg two based on the result of the first game before we even start saying, right, you know, what does lifting the trophy look like? That's out there in the distance. But
leg one, leg two, you got 180 minutes of football ahead of you. Best of luck, Tommy, to you and Cavalry FC as you take on Forge FC in Finals 2019. And congratulations once again on both your spring and fall titles.
Thank you. Should be a cracker.
And we are joined by Cavalry FC goalkeeper, and I should also mention Canadian men's national team goalkeeper, Marco Carducci, who will be featuring in Finals 2019 as Cavalry FC takes on Forge FC October 26th at Tim Hortons Field, followed by ATCO Field, Spruce Meadows in Calgary on November 2nd. Marco, welcome to Centre Circle Live.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So you're entering into your 8th and 9th matches against Forge FC. You've definitely had a good look at your opponent. What do you make of Forge FC? What do you make of your team's chances? And what are you expecting for Finals 2019?
Well, obviously, yeah, we know it's going to be a difficult test. And like you mentioned, we've played them several times this year already. So I think going both ways, we both know each other quite well and what to expect from one another. So, you know, all things considered, I think it's going to be a great test and a good finals matchup. Like I said, we'll continue to do our research and prepare as best as possible for Forge. But, you know, I think we both know what to expect from each other at this point. Just, you know, final preparations and looking forward to going after it.
Marco, I remember when we first were introduced at the start of the season, one of the things you told me was that you really wanted to, you know, make a name for yourself in this league, get on that national team level, and win things with Cavalry FC. I think you've done all three of those things. You've been our VW Premier performer throughout much of the season. You got your Canadian men's national team call-up, and now you have a chance at not only winning, you know, you've won the spring title, you've won the fall title, but now you have a chance at winning the big Finals 2019 with Cavalry FC. How has this year been for you? I mean, has it been, like, when you look back at it, do you, like, feel like it's surreal sometimes?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a good way of putting it. It's crazy to look back and think already that, you know, so much has happened from that point. And obviously from an individual perspective, there's been a lot of really, really great highlights along the way. And, you know, as a team, we've had that success and we've you know, won the spring, we've won the fall. We had a run in the Canadian Championship as well. And now we're, you know, we have an opportunity to do the treble and win the CPL Championship as well. So from that perspective, it's definitely been surreal. It's been an incredible start. But at the same time, I think those were the expectations that we set for ourselves as a team from the get-go. We knew we had a special group, and we knew that collectively we could do a lot of special things together. And like I said, I think this has been the culmination of our hard work and our commitment since the start.
So I know a lot of players will say, you know, I'm only thinking about the next game or the next couple of games, but I want you to kind of do a little thought experiment with us here today at Centre Circle Live, because you clearly set some pretty tangible goals at the beginning of the season, and having achieved many of them on your way, I think it's time for a reevaluation. So when you close your eyes for 2020 and 2021, what are some of the objectives or milestones that you would like to hit in your career?
Yeah, for me, again, I know it's a great question, and I'll be the first to admit that I don't always give the best answer for this one, because it's just the truth that I, as much as possible, want to just keep focusing on the near future and what's right in front of me right away. So obviously that we've had this season, seeing what's, you know, potential with this league, you know, moving forward, I want to be more involved with the national team for sure. I want to continue to get called into the program and become a regular there. You know, again, it's tough to look too far ahead in this game, but for me, I want to continue to have the success with Cavalry. That's the winning culture and the winning mentality we have here, and that's to try to win every competition we're involved in. But yeah, like I said, personally, it's just a matter of continuing to grow and develop, and you know, see where that takes me individually. But it's a one day at a time kind of thing for me.
I know for me, if I was in your shoes, my answer would probably be to be in FIFA 2021 or get my face in a video game. But I'm sure you've already gone through those experiences. You're approaching one of the bigger matches of your career, and I'm curious because you've played a lot of big matches this year, the Vancouver Whitecaps series and the Canadian Championship being a particular highlight. But do you expect Finals 2019 to be perhaps the biggest games of your career thus far?
Yeah, no. Like you said, there definitely have been some big ones this year already, and I can look back into some other games that I've played, in the past as well. But yeah, I think definitely it has the potential of being that. The way I want to treat it is, at the end of the day, we want to remain consistent and keep doing the things that I've given myself and the team success all year long. So I don't want to treat it any differently, but for sure, we obviously know what's on the line, and there's an opportunity to be CPL champions, and of course to, like I'd mentioned earlier, to do the treble, right? So there definitely is a lot on the line, and we know that it is a big game, and I think that'll be in the back of my head for sure. But like I said, I think what's given us success all year long is doing the small things right, and I'll continue to do that leading up to the championship.
And your path to that success begins at Tim Hortons Field on October 26th before ending at ATCO Field Spruce Meadows in Calgary on November 2nd. Marco, thank you very much for joining us here at Center Circle Live, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for the well wishes.
And of course, we had 5 of 7, the other 5 CPL teams close their season on Saturday. Let's start with Pacific FC and the news that happened this weekend, or this week rather, with Michael Silberbauer leaving the club, James Merriman behind the bench, and 2-0 win over Valor.
Do we have bagpipes? Play bagpipes. Yeah, classic Michael West Silberbauer's time at Pacific FC has come to an end. The two have parted ways. It was an interesting bit of news when it dropped. But
on the Friday before.
Yeah. But I think it accomplished what they were trying to do. Rob Friend told our Martin Bauman that he's looking to invigorate the team, and he thinks that results haven't matched the talent that the squad has. And so he's trying to let everybody know, nobody's job is safe. You have to work for it in this industry. Lord knows we all know that here. Mm-hmm. And, it's a weird situation where, do you go with James Merriman for the future? Do you look for another option? Rob Friend and Josh Simpson are some of the most connected people in Canadian soccer right now. So, Pacific FC will be a very fascinating team to watch next season. I think they're 1 or 2 coaches away from...
Wow, what a callback, eh?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, okay, so Pacific FC, obviously the youngest team in the league. Now, you would maybe read that and say you need to have a coach that you're going to carry them with, right, in ways that maybe TFC has done with Greg Vanney,
for
example.
Yeah, you need a guy for a long-term play here.
So, maybe the coach speculation time will come later, but your thoughts on Silberbauer leaving the club?
Oh, it was probably surprising news. I think we'd all agree,
yeah.
I think.
Mm.
I don't know. In the short term, Rob Friend got what he came for. He kind of came out and said that they wanted to win their last home game.
They won
Saturday, which
yeah.
they did in pretty convincing fashion, I thought. And I think a lot of the players after the game were sort of saying that the news breaking on Friday kind of gave them that extra little edge heading into Saturday to kind of prove themselves, I think.
It always does, yeah. The Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United experiment once Mourinho was gone, they're all of a sudden like a good team, and now we're seeing, wait a second. Like, it always happens. Anytime a coaching change occurs, players...
1-1 against Liverpool.
1-1 against Liverpool.
That's a good result.
But that's whatever.
The BBC said he got his tactics spot on.
Whatever. I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, we're on the other coast, though. We had a bit of news. Another nice little story. A very positive story for HFX Wanderers FC. Everyone's second favorite team.
Their first away win, literally the last possible opportunity in 2019.
Steven Hart getting the better of Jimmy Brennan. You know what? Jimmy Brennan already wrapped up third. Good job for his team. They fully deserve it, I think,
oh, yeah.
with the
yeah.
results they put in the fall.
Kind of
quietly
strange.
One of the better performing teams, especially in the last couple weeks.
They ended with a plus goal differential.
Yeah.
Which you look back to the spring.
Most teams didn't.
Was it plus nine by any chance? But yes, Halifax getting their very first away win of the season. It took from 14 tries, but you know what? All's well that ends well. And for Steven Hart, it's a big smile at the end of the season. And really heading into an offseason that might have a lot of turnover, a lot of change. I mean, these teams are far from finished products. And I think that can be said the same for teams like Edmonton and Valor as well. I think there's going to be a lot of movement across the league as players kind of come and go. And who are we talking to? Somebody said they anticipate something like 30 to 50% turnover.
That was Rob Gale. The weekend. Yeah. He had some interesting quotes about Valor specifically saying they basically need to be like a little bit more nasty, have a little bit more grit.
Yeah, he said they were getting bullied out there, I think he said. Because like guys like Marco Bustos are
and Petrasso as well, right? Like especially those players that play out wide and maybe have trouble cutting inside and being able to activate middle parts of the pitch. Yeah, what kind of, for Valor, what kind of transformation do we expect to see from Rob Gale here in the offseason?
Hopefully not a different hair color, but
they need defenders, right?
They do need defenders. I think they just need he nailed it. Like, yeah, we don't have to speculate any further than that. They just need grittier players. It's the same thing that TFC went through when Michael Bradley said, we need more men in this locker room. That's exactly what Valor is looking for. It's just character guys who can pull up guys from their bootstraps and say, hey, this is unacceptable. We got to do better. I think if you had more of that, Valor doesn't go on those long stretches of poor results. Yeah. That's really where you needed it. And I think that's where Gale's season sort of got away from him. The other interesting story out of Edmonton is Prince Amanda.
Where'd this guy
come from? Jeff Paul said it took him 27 games to discover he's got a winger who can do that.
Amazing. Beautiful cutting goal against Pacific.
It was incredible. And the assist was another nice little bit of footwork.
On his debut?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
you'll love to see it.
Prince Amanda, I think, is a great example of what FC Edmonton is looking at this offseason, because they have so many good young pieces that you can't really expect a lot of turnover, right? I mean, you look at the draft picks they have, like Connor James, Zakaria, Ongaro, obviously. You know, what kind of change do we expect from them, if any?
I think we'll definitely see a few more faces out of their academy. I think there's definitely an opportunity for that. But, I mean, beyond that,
Volato Sagai as well.
You got to imagine, though, that Paulus is probably looking at guys like Amir Didic and going, how can I replicate this in other zones of my field? Like, are there options for me, like, let's say Canadians abroad, that I can entice back and maybe bolster my team? I think players like Randy Edwinibonsu haven't necessarily performed up to the standard that we were expecting. But that being said, I don't know how much wiggle room there actually is for bringing in, you know, another big blockbuster player. So, you know, we might see some turnover here. We might see some players go and players come in. But I think for Paulus, really the secret is locking down a formation that works.
4-3-3.
If it's a number specific.
No, 4-4-2.
whatever it is. And then really kind of getting everything going in terms of consistency. That's all they need. I think they have enough talent in their young players, like Pacific, where give them a few years and they're going to be really, really solid players. Beyond that, really, it's going to come down to those fine margins of difference.
Well, I'm curious if we're going to see much turnover at all for Cavalry and Forge this year, just because they're so close in competing for one another. So then you have to think that if there are going to be more Canadian internationals and Canadians playing abroad looking to come back, maybe those opportunities won't be there for Cavalry and Forge, ultimately sort of boosting the rest of the five. Right?
It'll go both ways. Players like Tristan Borges will get attention from like the Whitecaps or from like Belgian teams or like random countries around the world. Like when you're a team like this or you're a league like this, your players excel and then they move on. And then you bring in newer guys and do the same. And I think that's kind of the beauty of the CPL right now, is it's all very new still. Mm-hmm. Right, Charlie? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, who would have expected guys like a Taron Campbell, for example, to just come out of the woodwork and score?
Easton Ungaro.
There's guys at every team, I think, that kind of broke out in that sort of way. Nico Pasquati, certainly. I mean, you've got guys in Halifax like a Mohamed Karuma, maybe.
Expectations definitely shattered across the board. A lot of the players that we expected to be big game players were actually replaced by younger players who nobody really knew about. Mm-hmm. As we approach the end of the 2019 Canadian Premier League campaign, our inaugural season, it's important to note that Finals 2019 isn't just the big moment, but it's one of many milestone moments in this league and in Canadian soccer in 2019. It's really been a fairy tale year for soccer in Canada this year. If you are in the area in Hamilton or in Calgary, or if you can make the drive out, I really encourage you to do so. This is a real moment in our soccer's history.
It's important.
Yeah,
it's important.
If you visit campiel.ca/win, there's a contest, an opportunity to win a fantastic prize that will put you in either leg. All of, you know, hotels accommodated for. I think there's like a $250 Visa card. You get a rental car. It's a full experience. And I really encourage you, if you're listening to, you know, if you're not from one of these two cities, give it a shot. You know, maybe you're the winner and you get to experience the finals yourself in person. And for the Center Circle Live crew, Campiel Editorial will be covering every single angle. I promise you, every single angle will be covered. If they're not, these two are fired for, no, I'm just kidding. So keep listening. Thank you for your continued patronage of our website, of our journey. And thank you for being loyal listeners to Center Circle Live.